Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
One success strategy for me, and again, it's going to sound simple, but somebody's going to get a light bulb moment. I just know it. Checklists are everything for me, but sometimes I forget to refer to them. And so I use a tool, another tool called Process Street. And so what makes my flow successful is if when I do that YouTube video, it automatically feeds into Process Street, which then says, oh, she's got a new video. And here's the link to that video. And here's a checklist of the things she needs to do. Let me send her an email so that she knows the things she needs to do. That's been a game changer for me, is to have that thing pop up in my inbox with a star in it because it's priority, saying, hey, you haven't done the checklist for this video.
Keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever wondered what it takes to truly captivate an audience with live video? Or maybe you're curious about the strategies that transform passive viewers into active community members. Maybe you're eager to integrate video into your marketing to elevate your brand's online presence. If you've had any of those thoughts recently, then you are in for a great experience today. We are welcoming Tanya Smith, a friend who is an expert at video coaching and engagement strategy. She's gonna provide her top strategies for building a compelling online brand through video. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Tanya, thank you once again for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's
gonna be fun. I did lose. I think you were asking if I might have lost my voice from talking so much yesterday. Probably.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a rough one today. I can feel it. I can feel it. So Connor, we've got Connor here.
Yeah, just a little bit more out of you today, because I know we're going to get so much good stuff. And if you don't know Tanya, you absolutely should, because she's the founder of Get Noticed with Video. She's a premier video coach, savvy business strategist, and the quietly charismatic host of two video podcasts, Stream Like a Boss TV and App Therapy Club. She's among some of the most sought after coaches in content marketing. She's often called a walking Google and has been a go-to guide for service providers and small businesses looking to amplify their online brand through meaningful online conversation. She has helped countless individuals transform their business by seamlessly integrating video into their sales funnel and convert those conversations. Tanya, we're so excited. Thanks so much again for being on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I can't go any farther down the show without saying a big shout out to our sponsors, which are Ecamm. You can find out more about them by going to ecamm.com/Jeff. If you use the code Jeff15, you'll save 15% off of your first purchase. So make sure you guys go check that out. And we mentioned before, but I'm going to do it again. Leap Into Live is going, and I'm going to be there today at 3:00 Central Time. I'll be talking about Beyond the Stream, some of my favorite topics, and we're going to be talking about some of those today, about repurposing. And you can find out all about that and go watch live there for free by going to leap.ecamm.com. They have a pass that you can buy for $45, which you'll get access to all of the recordings. Tanya did hers yesterday. She was amazing. It's worth that price just to see her talk. You can see that. But the cool thing is you get access to all the other Leap events as well with that purchase. And it's got a workbook with a bunch of cool stuff in it. So leap.ecamm.com. All right. So let's jump into this first section, because I think this is really important for a lot of people, and I know that's one of those topics that you talk a lot about, Tanya, but turning lurkers into leads. Well, let's just jump right into that. What are some of your favorite ways that you do that, like engaging people with live video content?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to say this. It's going to sound simple, but it's not easy. It's going to sound so I'm going to give you something. I'm going to say something really quick here, and you're going to probably be like, yeah, that sounds like obvious. But here's the thing. The biggest thing is acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. The biggest way to actually draw people into your conversation, to draw people into your, even your sales funnel, if you will, at some point, is to acknowledge them. I remember when I first started watching live streams, and I remember a very specific person, I won't say the name, but he would say, hey, I'm doing this live stream and I am live, but I'm going to go ahead and get through this content. And later I heard kind of the backstory about how he was delivering. And he said he didn't want to engage with people because it would throw him off of his content. For me, it's the exact opposite. I'm finding that you can engage people when you actually talk to them and create conversations with your video content. So that's the number one tip, is acknowledge that people are there and that they took the time to really, you know, connect with you and to be on your show, even if they're just in the chat.
Point. So you mean we should do stuff like saying hello to Virginia, hello to Dustin, hello to Gary, hello to Jim, yes. hello to Chris, hello to everybody watching, and thanks for being here. That's such an easy thing to do. And I think once you get your head around just incorporating it a little bit here or there, it makes such an impact. And I think it makes a lot of people's day too, when they're given time and you're showing that you're grateful for them being here. But what about some of the common like mistakes you see when people are trying to convert viewers into leads? I would think that maybe being a little bit too forceful might be a top thing to kind of avoid.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that can really make you mess up the flow. One is that you're overkilling it. So if you're constantly having conversations with the folks in the chat and you're not really delivering on the content that you promised you would deliver, that's problematic. So you do have to have that balance and make sure that you're, there's three things that I like to talk about. One, that you appear confident, like you know what you're talking about. So that means you need to prepare. That means you need to actually have the knowledge that you say you're going to deliver. Two, having some type of content strategy. So having a theme that runs through the different topics that you deliver when you are talking on your live streams. That's one of the things we talked about last night, is there can be disconnect when you're all over the place and none of your content is really connecting to the other content that you've put out there. The third thing is consistency. So that messes with your engagement. If you're only on today and then maybe a month later, you might pop up, and then maybe 2 weeks later, and you're always on a different day and time, that it creates this inconsistency such that people don't rely on you to be available when they can watch.
That's a great point. And we've actually had some, well, I would say guests say like, yeah, I'd love to be on your show, but I can't do it on Fridays. I'm like, eh. That's when we do it. Yeah. And now we've done some pre-recorded stuff before when like we're taking a break or something, but like everybody knows that we show up 10 a.m. Central every Friday. And Katie says this, she goes, that's partly why I love this show, acknowledgement. On that note, and then Gary says it drives engagement on this in the streams too. Like, that's what I love to see, is like the chat and like them welcoming each other and talking to each other. I just think that is really cool as a community where people are taking care of each other. What are some, other than like bringing up comments, are there some things that you like to do to drive engagement? You mentioned, you know, being consistent, but an acknowledgement, other than just pulling up great comments like Kirk watching over on LinkedIn. Hey, Kirk, how you doing? What are some other ways that you can like get people to get engaged, interact with your streams that you like to do?
One of the things that I found I have to do because, okay, so I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to say something very transparent with you. I am the person who can never remember the punchline on a joke. So,
my wife.
So I'm going to start with that. And I'm going to tell you that I intentionally plant for myself different engagement questions. I make sure that when I'm writing out my script, even though it's an outline, it's a skeletal script, so it's not a full script, so I'm not reading. I'm thinking ahead of, okay, what kind of questions should I ask at these different points that will get people to interact? Because if I fail to do that, sometimes I just won't do it. And that is really a secret to having engagement, is drawing people in and asking them to interact with you in the first place. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Yeah. And by the way, and Gary goes, Tanya has such a cool voice, very calming. Well, she has a podcast too, Gary. We've been bringing up her lower third. It's, what's the best URL to find your podcast at, Tanya?
Oh, goodness. Right now, I would say streamlikeaboss.tv is where you can go to find most of my stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you're there, there is a page, a resource page that will have a link to the podcast. Here's why I say that, because I'm in the process of potentially moving it after we've done all this leap stuff.
Right.
So I got a lot of really great tips in the last 48 hours that I think is giving me vibes to move from where I am. So go to streamlikeaboss.tv, and that's the best way to keep connected and find out all the things that we're doing.
Awesome. Awesome.
Love it. I second the soothing voice. This is a very peaceful episode we got so far. Yeah. And let's keep that very chill, very mellow. I love it. And you know, so we're talking about strategies, engagement strategies, right? So we come up with a couple, we actively, you know, consciously decide we're going to include these types of strategies in our live show. But how do we measure that success of the engagement strategies that we're using? I think we can come off of a live show and be like, that was great. The audience was doing so much. It was just a really, really awesome show. We can kind of leave it at that. But how do we kind of go back and say, you know what, this strategy that I did, that was successful. What do those measurements look like for you?
Yeah, so a couple of things. There's some that are informal, and then there may be some things that are a little bit more formal. Informally, yeah, I think you're going to have a gut feeling. I do think that when you see that there's interaction and there's engagement in the chat and people are conversing back and forth with each other and they're also interacting with you, I think that can be some measure that, hey, this is a good show. This is working well. However, you do need to take a look at your metrics. You need to look at how long did people actually stay on the show? How long were they viewing the content that you were putting out there? Did they disappear after they said, hey, what's up? And then they were out. At what points during the show, during the episode, are you seeing that people are, your engagement is spiking, or that people are staying longer? And at what points is it kind of like people are dropping off? You need to pay attention to that and use that as leverage. The other thing for me, because tied to this whole idea of engagement, especially because I'm an entrepreneur, so I have things to sell. Yeah. And I know that there are some creators that don't. But if you do, you need to be paying attention to whether or not people are actually taking action, because there's call to action bites that you're also incorporating throughout your show. Not just at the end, but you're seeding different links. And you've seen Jeff doing this right now. Jeff and Connor are putting different seeds into this show right now without overkill and making it feel salesy. But they're talking about, you know, pointing you in the direction, for instance, of Jeff's upcoming episode that he's going to be doing, or his speaking thing that he's going to be doing at Leap. His toolbox, he mentioned that. So wherever you're seeing that people are clicking, if they're taking action on the things that you're influencing them and asking them to take action on, that's also, to me, another measure that is a little bit more formal and definitely more helpful. You know that you're hitting the right notes.
Those are great, great tips. And on that same, we're talking about live video. We're talking about, you know, engagement. You know, Gary has been awesome in the past where he is actually taken a screenshot of the show and posted it onto, you know, Twitter or Instagram. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some tools that you use for like social listening so you don't miss those comments? And because I feel that's part of engagement too, is when somebody mentions you and takes the time to actually take a screenshot and throw it over on their own social, you don't want to miss that. And I think that's a big part of engagement. What are your recommendations or thoughts on that?
You know, I used to, be all over the place. I used to have to try to keep track of all the things everywhere. One thing I will tell you, especially if you're doing anything on YouTube that I found to be helpful, is to make sure Again, this sounds simple, but not easy. Make sure you turn your notifications on for comments. So definitely do that. Turning on your notifications for YouTube, I think, is key. But the one tool right now that I found to be just stellar, and it was actually an AppSumo deal. I know you're, your fellow AppSumo people. I found Vista Social. And Vista Social has turned into just a powerhouse for me as it relates to scheduling my social media posts. But also there's a social inbox that pulls all of my comments into one place, YouTube included. So that's been super helpful for me to just go in and scan, even if it's like 10 minutes a day, to see who has interacted, who has reached out, who has tagged me in something so that I can respond.
That's any. So I since I've been an Agora Pulse ambassador, that's one of the things that it does for me, is it lets me see the, you know, people who mention the show whatever, and I can go into that. But yeah, AppSumo, that's a great deal to go check out. I want to pull up this comment from Chris. He goes, that is so key. People are already tuning out when you are winding down. You have to pepper in calls to action throughout the show. And that is so true. And what I do is, you know, if you've noticed, like, you probably have noticed, but I bring up these lower thirds, and then I bring up when Connor is talking or Tanya's talking, that I bring up this one. I want to, you know, highlight my host, my co-host, and my guest, but also I'm trying to do that pattern interrupt while we're going. And the cool thing is with Ecamm is that since I'm using that, I can have multi-streams, and I have a end product where it's all burnt in, all the lower thirds burnt in. But then I also have Tanya and Connor and myself all in separate tracks that makes me able to reuse and repurpose super, super easy, because I don't have to worry about those lower thirds and cropping weird or whatever, because I have those clean tracks. But anyway, just want to give you a little bit of background on why we do what we do. Virginia says this, even when I watch the replay on Tanya's show and make a comment, she always responds. See, that is so very, very cool. And then Chris has a question, and he says, what would you say to the live streamer who may be hesitant about looking salesy when they are talking about offers or products?
I love that question. I love it. And here's what I think about that. I think that it's true. People are fearful of appearing to be salesy. A lot of people say I'm not a salesperson, so I'm just not going to sell anything. But the thing is, when you put yourself out there on video, even if you're just doing audio, whatever you're doing, you're selling anyway. You're selling something. It may not be for a monetary exchange, but you're selling yourself. You're selling what you know. You're giving people something in exchange for the fact that they're watching, right? So to me, the most important thing is that it's not, your content should be related to the things that you're offering of service. When I talked about this yesterday with the Leap Conference, the big message point I hope people took home was this, and that is, as you're creating your content in the first place, if you're creating a live stream, if you're creating any type of video content, work a little bit backwards. What is it that you're wanting to accomplish with this thing? What's the outcome? And I'm not saying that every single thing you have needs to be about selling a product. But if you know that you can give someone the benefit of actually enjoying even further knowledge from you, even more of an experience with you, and they're willing to invest, why are you not giving them the opportunity to do that? So as you're choosing your content to talk about, you need to be thinking about, what is this tied to in relation to my library and my arsenal of tools and services? So think about, what is it I'm offering? Am I offering a course? Is it a webinar? Is it a lead magnet? What is it? And then when you're having that conversation, just by nature of you having the conversation and delivering the content, it's pointing people back to the fact that they can now experience even more of you by going to your website, by going to your landing page, by going to another event that you're going to participate in. So to me, it's about the conversational content. It's not about selling content. It's about all of these things as you over time become proficient in your craft at delivering your message. Naturally, this is going to happen. You will sell. So just be careful that you don't focus so much on, hey, I want to share this thing with you for $97. All you got to do is go over. No, instead of doing it that way, what you're doing is you're saying, hey, I've got this message I want to share with you, or this tip. And if you want to get more information about this tip, I also talk a little bit more about the other 9 steps of the 10 steps in my course that's over here. So if you would like that, either DM me for the link or I'll pop it up on screen. Mm. That's not salesy. That is conversation. And that is you truly allowing people to take advantage of having more time with you in exchange for currency or in exchange for an email. That's how I see it.
I love that. That working back kind of thing. What do you have and how can you incorporate that into anything? And I think personal brand plays a role in that. And Abby has a great question around that. She says, are there certain engagement strategies that you don't like or seem inauthentic? How do you find strategies that are specific to your brand? It's a great question. It's kind of like you can see how others are succeeding, but if what they're doing doesn't match your brand, you probably shouldn't do it. Like you see Dude Perfect throwing a football across a field and getting into a small thing. So smash that like button. Yeah. But you're an accountant saying, here's how you do your taxes so you don't go to jail. Smash that like button. That doesn't really seem like it makes sense to your personal brand strategy. So how important is that?
I think that's super important. And I agree with you that this is another excellent question, because I will tell you, I failed miserably when I first started. I was looking at other people's content. I was looking at other people who were successful, whatever, however you just define that. And I thought, well, I've got to be this extrovert. I need to really just pump it up. And look, this goes back to some of my corporate mentality, where I had a boss that once told me that I was not bouncing off the walls enough for him. So I'm an introvert, and you know, introverts process things a little bit differently, and personalities are different. And what I had to realize is that I needed to stop trying to be someone else or like someone else. Take the strategies and the tactics that I saw that were working, that could work for me, apply them, try them. And if they didn't work, then I try something else. I don't worry too much anymore about failing, because I never see failure. So when I experiment with different strategies, different tactics, different ways of approaching content, if it doesn't work, I just don't do it anymore. So like I said about the podcast, I'm like, well, yeah, I was doing it this way. I had it on Substack, but I think I'm going to move it. And I don't worry about that being a mistake or a fail. It was a lesson learned. I tried it. I wouldn't have known had I not tried it. And now I'm going to move on to something else.
I love that. Not being, it's an experiment, not a failure. That is really good. Yeah,
absolutely.
By the way, the Gabe Leaf Leo experience says, I never like smashing the like button because I have broken so many keyboards. Yes, that is probably an important safety tip.
Keyboards, yeah. Great safety tip. Those are the kind of safety tips you get here at Social Media News.
That's right.
It's time to move into Jeff's favorite section, repurposing strategies. I think, you know, it's great to do a live show. You're going to show up at a certain time, right? People are going to come to you. But like we said before, life gets in the way, whether it's for the viewers or they miss something or whatever. And you want to kind of try to suck as much content, I guess you could say, out of this one singular live stream that you do. You see it with what Jeff does with this show. He posts it all over the place. But for you, you know, what are your top tips for repurposing the live content that you've created and posting it to other social media platforms around the internet?
Ooh, this is my favorite thing right now, honestly. It really is. So I have a whole 10-step process. I just taught this in my academy the other day. And what I love about repurposing is that it gives you the maximum benefit, the maximum bang for your buck. You've put all this time and effort into creating intentional, purposeful content. Why the heck are you not doing anything with it? So a couple of things that I like to do, and one of my really favorite tools right now is Cast Magic. I know you've heard people, if anybody's been watching the Leap event, a lot of people have been talking about Cast Magic, but I love the ability to, first of all, take that one live stream and now create multiple social media clips so I can use video AI. I can use Minvo. We were talking about that, Jeff, right before. I can use any of these clipping tools that are out there to actually take the video and clip it into smaller clips with purpose and intent. Again, we got to go back to that because not every clip is going to matter or have something relevant to say. But I can turn that or convert that into quote images. I can create audiograms. I can convert the whole thing into a podcast or a blog. And I mean audio podcast specifically, or a blog. And then I also can even create, get this, with Cast Magic, one of the things that I love to put in there is lead magnets. So I can say, hey, create a lead magnet for me or a content upgrade that allows me to, when I post the blog or I share the video, allows people to go to a page, a landing page where they sign up so that they can get access to the 10 tips that I shared in this one video. I mean, it's endless. Whatever you can think of, you can do when it comes to video. And because you're starting with the video, you've got all the things. You've got the visuals. Right. You've got the audio. You've got, if you've got guests, you've got guest spotlights. You've got the transcript, which you can turn into anything. And that's why I love Cast Magic doing that. You've got emotion. You've got expression. People can see how passionate you are if they're watching the video or the visual. All of the things are in there. So you have endless amounts of content if it's evergreen content, meaning that it's still going to be relevant 2-3 years from now or even tomorrow these days, right? But yeah, it's amazing. I love repurposing, and there's 1,000 repurposing tools that are out there that I love, but I had to stick to, you know, my tech toolbox like Jeff does.
Yeah, shameless promotion. If you guys want to get the toolbox, and she mentioned Cast Magic, it's in there. Descript is what I use to edit all my podcasts, and it does a lot of some of the same things, but I like to stack different tools together. You mentioned Minvo, and I'm going to be talking about this in my presentation later today, is I'll go and use Descript and we'll find the good clips, and then we'll take that and for vertical video, especially, Abby does all the other stuff inside of Descript for repurposing, but for vertical video, we use Minvo. And by the way, this is like, it's not a subscription. Like we were talking about this beforehand. It's amazing right now. They've extended this deal on AppSumo for, I think this just this weekend. Otherwise it goes back to a subscription. So if you want to get that, it's at jeffc.com/MINVO. That will take you right to the AppSumo link to get that, because I just put that up real quick because I'm going to use it in my presentation today. Cause when it's gone, it's gone. And I don't know about you, but I am tired of subscriptions. So anything that I can buy once, I am going to do. jeffc.com/Minvo will take you right to the AppSumo link. And my toolbox has everything in it as well. So make sure you check that out. Thank you for that shout out, Tanya. But you've got more of your friends. Oh, Katie says a video AI is her favorite. I am checking that one out as well, Katie. Thank you for that. The more tools, the better, I always say. And Dan says, Tanya isn't just a boss. She's an inspiration and a role model. Man, your whole team came today. All your fans like showed up. This is amazing. I love it. That's right. When we're talking about these repurposing strategies, you mentioned Minvo and some of the other tools. What have you found when you do a big live long video like this one, where the gold is? Like, how do you find those sections that you can share for those little, you know, YouTube shorts? Because I know you're doing that on your channel. All those little pieces that are so popular right now, but also can drive people to your longer form content.
How do you find them? So I'll tell you, I used to do it manually. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's three ways that you can do this. One is manually, and you're listening to yourself or having a team member or somebody listen to it and just pick out those points where you think, ooh, this is something that is a standalone message, which, by the way, this part, this criteria actually can fit any of the three methods I'm going to share with you. So it needs to be something that is a standalone message that if no one heard anything else, they get some value from what you just said or what was said in that clip. So that's one thing. A second thing is to make sure that it has it's not like clipped to the point to where you're cut off at the beginning or cut off at the end. So you need to be careful that it is a full thought if you can. Right. Okay. But the three ways: manually, which takes a lot of time and I would not recommend it. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense anymore now that we have AI tools. The second way is that you can actually use a tool like Descript. So Jeff mentioned Descript, and I think that's in his toolbox too. So make sure you go get the toolbox, because Descript allows you to then kind of go through, and you're still kind of doing a little bit of manual processing, but you can actually see the words. And so that makes for that cleaner cut that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then the third way, which has honestly been my favorite way lately because I'm so busy, but is to use an AI intelligent clip. So when you're using tools like Video AI, Opus, Menvo, any of those tools will allow you to automatically pull the information or pull suggested clips, and they give you by ranking. So you'll see scores next to each of these, for instance, in some of those tools. It'll say 96% likelihood that this will have SEO power, which I want. I want that.
Right.
But you still need to review, even though the tool, the AI is telling you that, you still need to review and make sure it's a complete thought. It's something that would stand alone, even if nobody heard the rest of it. And it's a clean cut. So you might have to do a little bit of editing to make sure that happens. But those are my thoughts on finding the right clips.
So on that point, Gary says, I like that the Descript can do a good job of processing Ecamm clips. Templates are the key. That is very true. And then, you know, and he also says, I've also started using some of Descript's B-roll. Chris Stone is a master at this. Yes, I would agree that he is. One of the things that I like to do in Descript, and Abby kind of does this for us as well, when you go and you're doing a live show like we do, a question and answer, like those, that's almost a perfect little clip. And you can usually go scran really quickly and get that. The one thing we mentioned, Menvo, that I like about that, it doesn't just give you, you know, 60 second, you know, bits. You can actually get longer ones that you could use for YouTube. Another tool that I want to mention that's also in my toolbox is TubeBuddy, which actually is great because they have this new feature where you can, it's right there when you go to your YouTube, it will actually recommend shorts. And I like there because they have all the data, the YouTube, you know, goodies that they can pull from. So that's really, really cool as well. TubeBuddy is another one for you guys taking notes.
There's one more thing I'll mention because you just brought this up for me. And I do like that suggested shorts too. I forgot about that in TubeBuddy. I need to go back to using that more. One more thing you can do, and this is something I started to do maybe a couple months ago. I kind of fell off, but I'm picking it back up, is at the end of your live stream, you can do a recap and let people know, hey, I'm going to do my 60 second or less recap of what we just talked about. Typically for me, for instance, mine is going to last about 45 minutes to an hour long, depending on the chat. And so I'll have three key message points almost every time, somewhere between 3 to 5. But go through and say, hey, make sure that it's a clean recording. That's why I love ISO in Ecamm, which I know you kind of referred to a little bit earlier, but have a clean recording that doesn't have all the banners and the graphics and all of that stuff up on the screen. Let people know, hey, I'm going to do my 60 second recap, and then go through each of the points with a really quick summary of what you talked about. And that can be easily converted into shorts. So I love that too.
Those are
made me think of it.
And I know you, I'm sure you have your process, you know, once you hit end on the live stream, you're going right into the next thing and you're getting ready to repurpose all of that stuff. We talked about so many awesome tools and strategies for getting that content, but what's like a really good example, if you have one, of just a successful campaign that you've taken repurposing from, right? So you have your live, you've got your repurposing, a strategy that you've seen, like it just continues to work for me, whether it's posting somewhere or a kind of, you know, Jeff talked about a Q&A sort of clip. You have any, you know, things to share, real world experience with that?
And let me make sure I get the question right. So I'm going to answer, but then if I didn't hit on what you're asking, let me know. I think if I had to give you one success strategy from the way that I do my workflow, one success strategy for me, and again, it's going to sound simple, but somebody's going to get a light bulb moment. I just know it. Checklists are everything for me, but sometimes I forget to refer to them. And so I use a tool, another tool called Process Street. And so what makes my flow successful is if when I do that YouTube video, and I'm also broadcasting on other spaces, but it's pulling from YouTube via Zapier, it automatically feeds into Process Street which then says, oh, she's got a new video and here's the link to that video. And here's a checklist of the things she needs to do. Let me send her an email so that she knows the things she needs to do, so that I get that email in my inbox shortly after I've done the live and I can start checking off the box with the different repurposing things that need to get done. Because I forget, and the more mature I become, the more I have senior moments. And so that's been a game changer for me, is to have that thing pop up in my inbox with a star in it, because it's priority, saying, hey, you haven't done the checklist for this video.
I love that.
That's a great piece. So I love that automation process. I know you're big into automation. I know you do a lot of cool like things like that. One of the things that we started doing is that, and this is just for our vertical video, is we use repurpose.io. So I upload one vertical video and it's TikTok. And the reason I do it TikTok first is then that kicks off things to go to Reels and then to Shorts. And then to, so it'll, and we use it for Guy's podcast as well, because he doesn't do video, but we're able to take his audio and put like a waveform on it and put it to YouTube for people to watch. And it's all automatic, which, you know, it sounds like, oh, it's just easy, you just do this. But having that automatic, like, that saves you so much time not as much stress. I love that checklist thing. I'm going to have to do that. Did you have something, Connor? I'm sorry, I interrupted you in the middle of that.
No, that was perfect. No, I love the, cause I think people can get like really daunted by, where do I even start with repurposing? Yeah. So if you just sit down and say, let's start with this, and then you got the checklist, automate it for yourself.
Yeah.
So and the thing is, your checklist is going to be different than anybody else's checklist. So what you really have to do initially, to be honest with you, if you're just starting out and you're hearing us talk about automation and all the things, you're going to have to figure out what is it that you want to go into your checklist, right? Mm-hmm. You can borrow other people's checklist, but there are going to be little tweaks and nuances that may be different for you and for your style of thinking, learning, and applying. So make sure that you adjust and adapt your checklist. My workflows, I look at them regularly so I can make sure, okay, is that still what I do? Do I need to make sure I adjust that a little bit? And when you have these checklists and you've created these workflows and you've put these things in place and you know step by step, these are the success steps for me. Now you have something that you can easily share and hand off and outsource to someone else to assist you with. So I think checklist, automation, all the things we're talking about are good, but just know there's no single answer. There's no one checklist that is the checklist of all time. You're going to have to create it.
That's a great point, because like even for this, we've been doing this show over three years now, and if I don't do my checklist, I will forget something. Like, oh, I forgot to send off that email. Oh, I forgot to create the graphics for the, you know, it's a mad scramble. I've just found that I rely on those twos because it just helps me not freak out or have that wait before you go to bed on Thursday night. Like, did I get everything done for the Friday show? I was like, oh my gosh. You know, so that's the thing. I want to know, Tanya, how much, like, on your overall strategy, how much time do you allocate for repurposing versus creating the content? Like, because I think a lot of creators go like, I got to go to the next thing. Like, I got to get that YouTube video out. I got to do this. And they don't spend enough time squeezing all the juice they can out of the content they created. So I'd love to know how much time you kind of allocate for that repurposing process.
So I actually time block just about everything. And by time blocking, I mean there are reserved spaces on my calendar. If you saw my Google calendar, you probably would freak out or geek out, depending on who you are, the type of person you are, whatever your personality is. But when I'm done on Thursday night, I do like to chill because I'm an introvert. Again, I'm exhausted. I get done talking. So I used to try to hurry up and do everything right then, honestly. But what I've done is decided to give myself a little cushion and some grace. I might do the first two steps of my checklist immediately after, but most of the time I'm waiting until Friday. And on Friday, I'm going to spend that time. And as far as repurposing the time frame that it takes, I could probably get everything I need to do done in about, I don't know, a couple hours because of the checklist, because I'm simply importing that link over into some of the platforms that I'm using to help me to do the things. And then some of it is on autopilot because, again, Zapier or an integration tool like Integrately, Pabbly, you know, there's a bunch of those out there now, mm-hmm. will simply recognize that, oh, she did that YouTube video. So now let me get to work. So on Friday, I can go in and take a look at, oh, the stuff is already in there in Cast Magic. Great. It's been transcribed. I just need to add the speaker thing. Okay. Done in a few minutes. So I think I've actually gotten more proficient over time only because I've done this so often. Yeah. But now that I'm adding a new team member in, by the way, I've given her, I said, Fridays, I'm going to give you the content. You got, of course, Saturday and Sunday off, but I need my information. I need what I'm asking of you by Tuesday morning, because she's helping me to put together a newsletter based on what we talked about in the events that took place the week before. Building in a team member or someone else to be part of the process, you have to recognize they're not going to move the way you do, and you need to give some grace and time for that too. But all of that's accounted for in my calendar.
Speaking of team members, we got a question from my team member, my daughter. She goes, how much time do you spend on setting automation and checklists versus going through and working on the checklist items? She has a tendency to stay in the planning and organization zone and not actually do the work. So I guess we're going to have a team meeting. But what would you tell Abby? Like, how do you, you know, because some people love to create processes. Yeah. And that's like, that's Abby's jam. She's the one who got me into Notion because she loves it. So balancing that, how do you do that?
Here's the thing. I think everyone has to operate in their gift, right? So that's one thing. I recognize that my husband and I are two different people. My husband is a big processor. If anybody knows anything about Myers-Briggs and all of that, I used to be a Myers-Briggs facilitator. So he's somebody who likes to build radio control cars. Like, he does that kind of stuff. But after it's done, he's like, oh, okay, the process is over. For me, I like getting to the outcome. I like to see the outcome, dwell in the outcome. I'm like, wow, this was great, right? Mm-hmm. But he sits in the space of the process itself. So one of the things, Abby, if the whole idea of the organizing and planning is a joy for you, let that be your joy. At the same time, you have to realize that there's a certain point where you got to cut that off. And once you've gotten to a space where you know your recurring processes that you're doing, they're set. Like, this workflow is good. You have to just make a decision to go. Like, you got to go. So I know, for instance, with me, I could spend all day in the process too, but in the end, there has to be execution. And so giving yourself deadlines and having those time blocks may be helpful. So if you say, hey, I'm going to play in this process for 2 days, and then by Monday, I'm going to get this information out. It's going to be on social media. It's going to be published on the blog by X date and time. If you can give yourself those deadlines, I think it might help.
Those are great. That's a great piece of advice. By the way, I want to do a really shout out to our friends over at Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. They are doing the Leap right now, and I'll be speaking. Katie actually asked, she goes, what time is your presentation? Katie, I am at 3 p.m. Central. I think you're in the UK, so I don't have any idea what time that is over there for you. It would probably be late or really early. Look at Connor trying to do math on live TV. But you can find out more about them. It's amazing. Like we said, Tanya spoke yesterday. It's a really great. Leslie Samuel speaking today too. I mean, so many great speakers. Leap.ecamm.com. Make sure you get their replay pass to check out all of that. So the time we got left, Connor, I think we have time for a couple more questions. Yeah. Let's jump into, like, we already did a little bit, systems and processes. So let's talk about that for live video.
Absolutely. We know we love using Ecamm to stream, but where are we streaming to? And Gary asks an awesome question here. He says, what are your go-to platforms to stream on? I know Facebook has made it more difficult to stream into groups. Yep, it's always changing constantly. So what are your jam when it comes to the platforms? Where are you seeing the most success, and where do you always go live from?
I always go live in YouTube now, but when I first started out, Facebook was my space, and it was because it was so much easier to be able to get into Facebook and do lives I'm just being honest. It was easier. I already had community there. I wasn't having to build from scratch and hope and pray that people would come over to my channel, all of that, right? Because it would pop up in the feed and get them notified. But you're right. The Facebook groups thing has probably put a kink in the armor for some people. I, believe it or not, right before they made the announcement about groups or the API being deprecated for third-party platforms to go into groups, I shut down my group. And part of the reason was because I was finding that it was a lot more effort and work and time to put content in that space than I was getting results from. And so I was finding more success on my Facebook profile with professional mode turned on than I did in my group or my page. So Facebook personal profile, I still do lives on my Facebook page just because I want the content there. But engagement in the personal profile with professional mode turned on so I can see metrics and I can schedule. And then, of course, YouTube. YouTube is a big one for me now because I am actively building the channel there. I'm actively wanting to monetize. I recognize the search possibilities and how it is much more likely to be found and discovered by people who may not know anything about me because it's on Facebook. LinkedIn is my third. And only because I have not, with intention and purpose, mapped out what my strategy will and should be on LinkedIn. But I see potential in LinkedIn because there's not a lot of people yet that are really effective with live streaming on LinkedIn. And I think that that particular audience is a solid business, ready to buy audience. So that will be something I'm going to be working on.
Yeah, we find that LinkedIn's great because we multi-stream right over there. And we're also, and the cool thing about Ecamm is you can pull in the comments from everywhere, which, yeah. And Gary says, excellent response. I want to take, Fred, I see your question. I want to take that, but I want to, one more system and processes kind of question is, how do you, like, what systems do you have in place for technical problems? Because I know a lot of people, when they first start, they get one little glitch and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't handle the pressure. I was there. I think we've all been there. What are your processes for like when things happen during a live stream?
Oh my God, I've had everything happen. I was on a live and I was talking for a good, I don't know, 5 or more minutes on mute. No microphone at all. And I was having a good old time. I probably said my best stuff I've ever said.
It's always that way.
In that 5 minutes. Yeah. So one of the things that I do from a technical standpoint, I've learned from every mistake and you're going to learn too. So you have to make the mistakes and you'll learn. Okay. I'll give you three things. One is I always have either my iPad or my iPhone up so I can kind of see what's happening at the same time as other people, like the way that other people are seeing it. I want to see that too. I also pay attention to the comments because people in your chat will give you, they'll tell you, hey, we can't hear you. Another thing, and this is something that my husband actually was farsighted about, and I was like, why are you buying me this for Christmas? But it was a backup power bank. It was a backup power bank because we do have storms here. Jeff mentioned earlier, we're having storms rolling through here in North Texas, and one of the things that can be devastating is if you're in the middle of a stream and it's the best stream ever again, and your power goes out and it doesn't come back. So having a power bank, something that will allow me to continue running, even though everything in the house might be out, but it's one that sits on the floor down there for me that is connected to my key stuff, like my Mac computer, the internet, all that. A third thing as a backup is to really get to know the platform that you're using. So if you're using Ecamm Live, if you're using StreamYard, if you're using Restream, you need to know where the block buttons are. You need to know how to turn off comments, how not to show things on screen. You need to get familiar and comfortable with the tools you're using so that when something, an emergency arises, you can quickly act. One of the things I'll tell you, I did have, the whole freeze thing. Yeah, I had someone, I used to do this because I was dumb, didn't know any better. I'm not going to say dumb. I'm going to say I didn't know. I was ignorant. I was showcasing, streamed the comments in real time. I was using Restream at the time. And I was showcasing them and some trolls popped in there, y'all. It got ugly. It got bad real quick. And it threw me for a second. And I thought, oh, from now on, I will not do that. So you'll learn from the mistakes and you'll make adjustments and you'll put things in place. But you have to, you need to take action on what you learned.
Right.
And don't think it won't happen again, because it probably will.
Right. Yeah. Jim says, like, yeah, he has he bought a UPS to keep things rolling after a power outage during a live stream where he was the host. If somebody sneezes hard on my block, it seems like I lose power. You know, it's just, it really does. Yeah. So I have a backup, but then the internet will go out. So you just have to deal with it. I only had it come out one time. A couple of weeks ago, we had geese on, like, outside of my office, which has never happened before, but they're honking. And I'm like, how is, so you're going to have things that come up. Like, I put it to my Instagram story. It was like, and you know, like Gary says, yeah, I got once booted from a live webinar the moment when Q&A was kicking off. Guests were left, you know, puzzled. Yeah. Before we go kind of our final thing, this is a great question from our friend, Mr. Fred over on YouTube. He goes, do you ever revisit content that was created a while ago and repurpose it again? What drives that decision?
Oh, that's a really good question too. All of these great questions. You have the best audience.
They are.
And thank
I do.
You
they
all
are
for
amazing.
Being here. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I do. I revisit content now. There's a couple of things that are criteria for me, because I've been actually in the process of doing this recently, Fred. And one of the things that I look for is that content still timely? Like, does it make sense right now? Because if I'm repurposing it and it's something that was relevant in the 90s, and now that doesn't matter anymore because of, you know, we're in modern times, then I'm probably not going to use that. Two, is it quality? Is it the quality that I want? Because, I mean, my quality has improved over the years. So do I want to put something out there and repurpose content that looks really not as great as it does today? Right. Maybe not. I can redo it. I can re-record that same message point and do it in real time. And it's still, if it's relevant and it's timely for today, then yeah, that can be, that's a form of repurposing too, is that you're reconstructing the webinar that you did. You're reconstructing a point that you made on another video. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking for it to make sure that it is still relevant, timely, and that it is of the quality that I want to represent me today in this moment.
Great, great advice. We got a couple more. Yeah, and Fred goes, that is a really helpful answer, Tanya. And I wanted to, so Gary remembers that guy. I was in a hotel, I was traveling, and there's somebody jackhammering. I was like on the 50th floor, but they were out there taking off like a staircase, like a cement staircase. I had to mute the entire time. Luckily, I had a co-host and like Connor and was able to get through it. But yeah, that was an adventure. There's always something. And Chris says, there's a goose honk removal plugin coming from Autophonic. Yeah, so that is great. And this is very true. I want to say this. He goes, we are the best audience because this is the best show on the interwebs. Thank you
there
for
you
that,
go.
Chris. So much good comments here. I'm still reading them because they're amazing. And Jim says, one trick that works to tell your audience that they're the best audience. At least they were for me. That's true. Anyway, folks, I want to give Tanya enough time to tell what she's got going on. I know she's going to recover from her speaking yesterday and being on another show. Tanya, tell people where they can find you, your podcast, everything that you do online.
Yeah, the best place, and thank you, Jeff. The best place is to go to streamlikeaboss.tv. If you go to that channel, or not channel, that website, I have recently upgraded and revamped the entire site so that it can be more effective. So if you go there, you'll find information about all the programs that we offer. I do something called Stream Bosses Academy, which is just my heart. It's a community of people who are not only learning about live stream marketing, because I know that is our thing, that's our jam, but also learning about how to leverage different systems to be more proficient and productive, not just in your video marketing, but in your business overall. We do co-working days. We spend time troubleshooting. There's all kinds of things that we do in that space. So feel free to check out the website there, and it will give you access to my different YouTube channels. Well, my YouTube channel, as well as my different podcasts that I'm doing right now. And I will be communicating something out about the podcast within the next week. So if you're not on my list, when you go to this page, you'll actually see an opportunity to sign up for my list. There's a resources page too, that has a lot of free stuff. If you're into free, and a few of my webinars are actually in there for free too. So I think that's the best space. I'm on YouTube at Tanya Smith. also known as Stream Like a Boss TV with Tanya Smith. So look me up there. Thank you.
Awesome. And a friend, James Hicks, says that Tanya is the truth. So that is awesome. So thank you for stopping by over on YouTube. And yeah, Connor Brown, where can people find the unsinkable Connor Brown?
You can find me over at wdwopinion.com and across the socials at wdwopinion. Awesome, awesome show today. Everyone, be sure to go and bother Jeff during his live stream coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern. Is it standard time now or just regular?
I don't even remember. But and also Connor is like, it's vacation time coming up. So make sure you guys go check out his travel planning, all the stuff he's got going on there, because he knows, especially Orlando, but cruising, he's always gone. I mean, he's always having fun. I know, he's amazing. WDAWopinion.com. Go check him out. And also don't forget the new toolbox that you guys can check out that I have just set up, jeffc.com/toolbox. I'd love for you guys to let me know what you think. Kick the tires and see if you can break it. No, don't. Please don't. Please don't do it.
Don't break it.
Because I know people will try. Like I can just see Chris Stone like smiling and rubbing his hands together. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching the show. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.